Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you noticed. I didn't, and I should. Okay, call to order 303. And roll call.
Absolutely. Karen Bounds,
Here.
Loretta Broomfield,
Here.
Frank Buckingham,
Here.
Christy Walker.
Here.
Okay, moving on. No public comment. Approval of minutes. From September 22nd. Let's see. Christy, do you want to do the
Yeah,
initial?
I'll make a motion to accept as written.
And I from
I'll
oh,
second.
already. Loretta, second.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. And roll call again.
Okay. Karen Bounds.
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Frank Buckingham.
Yes.
Christy Walker.
Yes.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Motion carried. No unfinished
Right.
business. Now we'll move on to new business and those review the proposed new employee handbook policies for 2024.
Fabulous. Okay, so I'm going to go over the first policy. Our first policy that we're going to add to the employee handbook for 2024 is going to be the reference and background checks. It is a process that we were already conducting. We just didn't have it formally in our handbook. And also, we thought that it would be helpful to indicate that FOIA requests are part of that. As well as Freedom of Information Act and the Consumer Report Agency, because we do background checks on all employees as part of their pre-employment screening. And then also just notice of consequences if employees provide fraudulent information. So that's what that particular one covers. Does anybody have a question for me on that one?
Nope, well
Yeah.
written.
At
Okay.
this point, at stop. At this point, do we make a motion to move this on to the full board? I think that's what they've been doing in the other committees.
Each policy or at the end?
Well, attachment 6.1. Was that everything on 6.1? I don't
Oh,
have a
no, that
document
was
in front
only
of
one
me.
policy.
Okay, well.
I have a
You have
bunch
a bunch
more.
of them.
Sorry,
Keep
Karen.
going. That's okay. Keep going.
Okay,
Just
the
let me know
next
when you
one
get
is
to the
our.
end of it.
I sure will, absolutely. So the next one is our internet safety policy. And this handbook was in addition because of the Children's Internet Protection Act, which basically it defines access to inappropriate material, the network usage. It further educates on what is inappropriate, supervision and monitoring. So should you be at home, you open your laptop, you can't have it unmonitored in case, a younger minor child may get on it. So it just complies with the Children's Internet Protection Act. And we did not have anything in the handbook prior to that. So that is the internet safety policy. The next one is the communicable diseases policy. And this policy just defines communicable diseases. It prevents discrimination against those who have a communicable disease and outlines that we will put safeguards in place when necessary and what that would include. Then the next one is the use of IHLS vehicles. So the use of IHLS vehicles, it further explains what the driver qualifications are, and which is they must be age 21 or older, hold a valid license, and then also be able to drive a vehicle, and then also basically are acting in the discretion and with the explicit permission of IHLS, so appropriate behaviors and so forth. One thing that we added to this particular policy is a disqualifying driver records policy. So this particular policy will kind of use a point system. So if somebody comes back, maybe they have, one or two tickets on their record, how do we make sure that we are equitably applying the same rules to everyone? So we have implemented a points system, and that point system will be given to all employees at time of hire. So at the time of hire, they'll be given the point system so they know exactly where they stand. If somebody obviously has a suspended license or 10 tickets in the last few years, then we would follow the process of obviously they could not drive for IHLS business, you know, for safety purposes. So that is something new that we are implementing. And also we are going to implement an annual check for all employees, which includes just more than drivers. It includes anybody that can use an IHLS vehicle, because we do have two vehicles at each of our locations that our employees can choose to utilize. We would prefer them to use an IHLS vehicle, but they can use their personal vehicle if need be. So all that is outlined in the use of IHLS vehicles policy. The next policy that we have is just,
I have just a quick question.
Sure.
On that. Is it in the job descriptions for the courier drivers that they have to be at least 21 years old to hold the position?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's per our auto insurance requirement. So they will not insure anybody that is younger than that to drive company vehicles. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. So the next policy that I have is just the no solicitation and no distribution. Obviously, when people are here at work, they should be performing work duties. They shouldn't be handing pamphlets out. They shouldn't be soliciting individuals to contribute to maybe their GoFundMe account. You know, they shouldn't be, you know, giving out political literature or anything like that on company time. So that is just basically... It's implemented to maintain a proper business environment. And also, you know, depending on who's asking, I mean, think about it. If your supervisor asks you to buy Girl Scout cookies, don't you feel obligated to do so? You know, I mean, it kind of puts some people in an uncomfortable position when they may or may not be able to financially afford that. So it's just kind of a courtesy thing. The next one is our blood and organ donation leave policy. So this is a new policy that was signed into effect as of January 1st of 2024. It is an amendment that requires employers with 51 or more employees to pay for blood donation and leave organ donation leave. So they are allowed to take 1 hour to donate blood, and they are allowed to take up to 10 paid days to donate an organ if they wish to do so. That was just signed into law in August by Governor J.B. Pritzker. And it'll just kind of go forward and tell you kind of like how much leave is required, which employers, you know, must grant leave under the act. So it explicitly defines that and just lets employees know that this is available to them should they want to donate blood.
And the individual organs are laid out in the law?
You know what? The organs, let me just see here. You just give me 1 second. I do have the policy right here. See here, it says blood donation, organ, employees. It just says donating an organ, so it does not specify what type of organ. It just says an organ in general.
So why are they all spelled out specifically in this policy then? Because cornea is not listed. And there may be others too. And I'm thinking too, my husband received a stem cell transplant and he had a stem cell donor, which is blood donation, but it took way more than an hour for the donor. Just my layperson opinion, think it would be better to leave the organs off of that instead of, if it's not in the law.
Yeah. The organ, my understanding is the organ donation is in the law.
I'm saying in here we've said kidney, liver, lung, but there are, like I said, cornea is not listed, and that is something that people
that they actually have, that
maybe not a live donor though, but stem cells.
Yeah, I think that's yeah. Done with
not a live donor.
Deceased. Right, people who are deceased.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because it does basically say no changes to those wishes. Yeah, it just says kidney, liver, lung, pancreas, intestine, bone, or skin. Is skin an organ? I don't know. I guess I need to go to science class. It is. Okay, good. I wasn't sure. So it's everything that they're defining as an organ. But, you know, obviously, Loretta, you know, if somebody would need that, that's FMLA would cover that as well. You know, like if somebody's going in to help somebody else and it's a surgery and, you know, that would be kind of fall under the FMLA, I would think. And IHLS is going to be understanding if somebody does need to donate something other than this. We may not be obligated to give them paid time to do so, but we will absolutely work it out with their specific situation. That's not an issue.
So as this was signed into law, the law itself does list all these things?
Yes, the law itself. That? Yeah, because I was pulling up the I got my information from HR Source on which it was signed into law on August the 4th. So basically the organ donation stuff does list all of those particular organs.
Okay, that was my initial question. If it's stated in the law and they're all spelled out there, then.
Nope, they're all, because I'm looking at two different resources. When I looked at the actual act, it listed those specific things out and I copied it directly from the act.
Okay.
So, so sorry about that for that misunderstanding. My last one is the Paid Leave for All Workers Act. You know, we've all been talking about this and how fun this is going to be to implement. It's definitely a great policy, but this goes forth and talks about how the PLAW leave will take place of what we currently have as personal leave. So we're taking away the personal leave and implementing this paid leave for all workers in a separate balance. There's several reasons for doing that, because it's easier to maintain, because with the PLAW leave, an employee does not have to tell you why they are taking the leave. They just have to give you as much advance notice as possible and tell you, I'm taking leave and I want it designated as PLAW leave. And you have to go ahead and approve that. So we figured it would be a lot easier to keep track of those balances if it would be separate. And just wanted to kind of outline how this basically affects our organization. So it goes into effect on January 1st. So based on legal counsel, it says we will be required to upfront full-time staff with 40 hours of paid leave on January 1st. Now, part-time employees will accrue 1 hour for every 40 hours worked. Full-time employees will get no payout upon separation. This is different than in the prior personal leave where they did get a payout. So full-time people used to get a payout. In the personal leave, they will no longer get that because they will get a balance every January 1. We're going to do it on a calendar year basis, and they will get that 40 hours lump sum onto the books for them to utilize for this type of leave. Now, part-time employees, they can carry over hours because, you know, they're only accruing 1 hour per 40 worked. So that is something to note. And again, the full-time staff, they will not carry over hours, as again, it's just given to them January 1st of every year, 40 hours lump sum. Now, this poses a unique situation because we will need to give our full-time employees a bank of 40 hours to use PLAW leave on January 1st per our legal counsel. So our prior personnel leave started on 7/1. So I had asked our attorney, can we count this time? And they said, no, we cannot count this time towards PLAW leave because we didn't designate it as such when it was given. And we didn't have all the intricates worked out on how PLAW would work for our specific organization. I don't think anybody did. This was something that you know, we had our attorney also talk to our member libraries about, because as smaller employers, it is really a hard thing to maintain. And it's a hard hit to take, especially for our libraries, because that could mean they're open or not open that day. So that is one thing that I do want to bring forth, is that it will be like, so basically on 7/1, all full-time employees got 40 hours of personal leave. And then on 7/1, all part-time people got 24 hours of leave. Okay. So they will have that leave, and they've been using that leave and can use that leave even past the time frame of January 1. January 1, they'll start with this new process, which is the PLAW leave, 40 hours, and then accruing 1 hour per 40 worked. So essentially, it's kind of like they're getting it twice. Mm-hmm. So, I wish that wasn't the case, but the way the law reads, we have to have it available for folks, you know, the 90-day requirement, like by March, in March. So we have to do this based on our legal counsel. It's a way for us to make it right, even though it means giving employees a little bit extra time. So does that make sense to everyone? Because I know it is quite confusing.
And that's just for next year, correct?
Yes, that is just for next year. We will not encounter that for 20. Yeah, we will not encounter that for 2025, because we'll be on that PLAW section.
Okay.
But just for this particular year, because of the way it falls, that's kind of where we run into that issue of giving folks, because we can't wait till 7/1 of 2024 to give it to them.
Right.
In order for it to match up to our prior personal leave, because it has to be available to them, by March, because they allow for a 90-day waiting period, but we do not have a waiting period on any of our paid benefits. People are allowed to take them up front as long as they, you know, follow the requesting rules and their manager approves it. So does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions?
Who is going to be keeping track of all of this?
That will be payroll. So payroll will be keeping track of all that. We're implementing our new HRIS system, so we will be able to set up codes that it won't be a manual process. It'll be a process that gets done automatically.
Okay.
And then the balances will all be listed on the employee's paycheck, so they can see that differentiation of PLAW time. And then after 7/1, any personal time that they have available, it will go away. So the personal leave will not exist after 7/1. But we hope they'll take it beforehand. I'm sorry, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah. So this is for 40 hours for part-time employees as well.
No, for the part-time employees, they do an accrual-based method. They get 1 hour of leave for every 40 hours that they actually work. So they have to work 40 to get 1 hour.
Okay, but the full-time get 40 hours up front.
Right. They get up front because they're working the 2,080 hours in the year. They're working, 40-hour work weeks.
Right.
They're never not working 40 hour work weeks, because that's the way we have it designated.
Okay, sure. Okay. And all this comes from the new law anyway. So everybody.
Yep.
Is it just all state agencies, or just who has to do this? All employers?
The majority of the employers have to do it. The only exception to that is schools don't have to do it. There are a couple of other, and I, off the top of my head, see, I should know this. I've been doing this for so long with this PLAW stuff.
That's okay.
They're all libraries, which is all we care about.
Yeah. And it does affect all of our libraries as well.
Do you anticipate any issues when people take their leave that's about to expire before, do they have to use it by the end of June or something, and people will take time off? You think that
everything down
for the PLAW leave, so they would have to. So for full-time employees, we give it to them January 1st. They have until December 31st to take it of that year because it's calendar year. Now, for the accrual folks, because they're earning 1 hour for every 40, they can carry over a balance if they would like. But it never has to exceed 40 hours. But we would just carry, you know what I mean? We're just going to carry that over for leave and then just let them know that it is available. Cause I think that in today's day and age, we need to encourage people to unplug and take time off. I think that's extremely, extremely important.
I was just wondering if the personal leave expires. You said you had the older program with the personal leave.
Yeah. So the personal leave, we'll leave that on the books because we gave that to them 7/1. So that will go away as of 6/30. So if they don't take that by 6/30, it's a use it or lose it program.
So both of those, they'll end up using those in June and December, something like that, if they want to use it up.
They could use it. They could save it. They could, you know,
the other ones, the PLAW, they can save.
The PLAW. Yeah. The PLAW will, they'll get another balance that January 1, you know what I mean? So it'll automatically come right over to 40 hours. So only part-time people can accrue it to the next year, but full-time people, because we gave them lump sum, they cannot do that. Cause they'll just get another balance as of January 1.
And I assume other libraries will be doing this, you know, the individual libraries will.
Yes. Yeah, we had, back in, I want to say, was it August? We had Karen Milner, who is our attorney, and she presented some information to them regarding how the PLAW may affect them. But also, if you want to look into it further, Frank, on our website, if you go into news, go to IHLS and go into news, it shows a big Q&A of how this could affect individuals. And it's a really good Q&A series in going over each particular situation.
I'm surprised it hasn't come up in your board meetings because it's come up in Bethalto's for months now.
Yeah. Well, I know that library directors are really concerned about it because they're, especially the smaller ones, because they're like, how are we going to stay open if so-and-so just doesn't come in and I don't have the staff, what do I do? And it's unfortunate, but it may result in closing the doors. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I think ours are all part-time though in our library.
It's for part-time too.
Yeah, it is for part-time. But you could do the accrual, so it's a little less it's a little less because you're accruing it and it's over time and your full-time people is where, you know, you get that full 40 hours. So if they decide to use the whole week, that could really put you in a jam.
Right. That's correct, I'm sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Karen. Those are all of the policies that I have today that just need to be forwarded onto the board.
I finally found my listing of them and was following along.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so at this point, we do need a motion and a second to move this on to the board, correct?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I've been getting. So I would entertain a motion to move this on to the board. Somebody want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion, Christy.
Thank you. Someone want a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Frank. And we need a roll call, please.
Absolutely. Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Frank Buckingham? And Christy Walker?
Yes.
Thank
you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said
I did.
His mouth moved. Yes.
Oh, I saw your mouth moving.
Good. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Moving on to review the job description for the accounts payable coordinator 6.2.
Yeah. So Finance, as you know, has been missing their senior accountant because that was Colleen, who moved into the delivery and facilities director role. So that position has been vacant for 2 months. And during that vacancy, they took a look at the accounts payable coordinator's duties and realized that she was doing much more than was listed on her initial job description. So with that reorganization and that restructuring, we took a look at her duties just to make sure that's what was she was actually performing. And in doing so, she moved from a grade 5 to a grade 6. So she will have a market adjustment. She is an hourly employee and she does work part-time. So she is a 32-hour a week employee, but that will be on your board report. And also we wanted to make sure in our finance department, you know, we've got our director and then we have our senior accountant. And then we have our accounts receivable coordinator. And then we wanted to make it fair because the accounts payable person does very similar duties just on the payable end versus the receivable end. So now there's two equal positions within that department. That one's payables and one is receivables. And that's kind of what brought this about. Does anybody have any questions?
All right, if there are no questions, we will move this on to the board. So I would entertain a motion to do so.
Well, I think job descriptions don't have to go to the board, Karen.
Okay.
I think they just have to be reviewed by personnel, was my understanding.
Okay, we did it.
Okay.
And these all come with legal. You mentioned, you know, referencing legal department, all those. And I assume this one sort of matches your other. You said there were two equivalent jobs.
Yes.
One's payable. So they have matching sort of descriptions now?
They do. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Their duties are very similar. But like I said, just on one's on receivables end and one's on the payables end.
And as I asked, you get HR advice or legal advice as needed. So
yeah, HR Source evaluates it. Okay. So when we put this out to HR Source, she was kind enough to save us a little bit of money. And she said, well, this is exactly like your payable, you know, your receivables person. There's no sense in me evaluating it. It should just be equal to the 6th position because it's the same equivalent, just different types of duties.
Just change the wording a little bit. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Are there any further questions?
And so you need a motion, Karen?
Jill said we do not.
Okay. We don't have to. Well, she said it didn't need a motion to go to the full board. Do we have to approve it at this level at all then? Or no,
it's just information for us?
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
And you'll see it on your staff report in the board report too. So you will see it on there.
We'll see it again. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none. I hope we have no further public comment.
Nope.
Do we have any announcements?
Nope. Other than more policies to come next month. And these will be some revisions and some tweaks. But I'm going to give you a heads up. They're probably going to be twice as many as we've reviewed today.
Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah. It'll be a lot.
Well, they need to be done. So, okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Thank you. And second. I don't know. Yes.
I just said a second.
Thank you. Well, this is something we don't need any kind of a roll call on. So thank you all for coming.
Great. Thank you.
And
we'll see you at another meeting.
Sounds great. Appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.